Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is writer and playwright Jonathan Maitland to talk about his latest play, The Interview. It tells the story of the interview between Princess Diana and Martin Bashir that took place on the 20th of November 1995. It's currently showing at the Park Theatre in London until the 25th of November. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Hello, Hannah.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us. So it's interesting, the way we kind of look at the interview and see the interview now, it's kind of been overshadowed, I guess, a bit by what we've found out recently in how it all came to happen.
Yes, well, it was in the news a lot a couple of years ago because a big storm brewed over the methods that Martin Bashir used to get the interview. And to cut a long story short, he was found to have forged a document that enabled him to get access first to Princess Diana's brother and then to Princess Diana. And that was the kind of story that was covered in the press two or three years ago. It led to an inquiry and basically the end of Martin Bashir's career. But I wanted to just go a little bit deeper than that and show what the relationship between him and her was like. Because the received wisdom is that he was very much manipulating and tricking her. But I think when you go a little bit deeper, which plays can do, there's an argument that she was perhaps manipulating him as well. And there's this question of who was manipulating who and for what end. So that's really what the play's about in Act One. And in Act Two, it deals with the fallout after the interview. A few weeks after it, a few months after it, and then 25 years later when the scandal really broke.
Mm. So was it after the scandal that you decided to write this?
Well, there were two parts to the scandal, really. I mean, interestingly, just after the interview happened back in 1995, there were stories in the press, the Mail on Sunday particularly, saying, you know, were these documents forged? And it was really quite a big scandal on the front of the Mail on Sunday. But no one else picked it up. This was back in 96, 97. What's really interesting is that 25 years later, in 2020, it was a huge global scandal. And people cared about it very, very much. And I thought, well, that's when I really picked up. And I thought, well, that's got to be worth a play, because not only is the relationship between Diana and Bashir very interesting, it's also very interesting that no one really seemed to care about the forgeries and the wrongdoing back then. But everybody cared about it this time around, which is really interesting. And one wants to ask the question, well, why? If it didn't matter then, why does it matter now?
Yeah. So have you been able to kind of understand that a bit more, why you think people cared about it so much this time and not at the time?
Well, I tried to answer it in the play, although some think it's better just asking the question rather than trying to answer it in a play. I mean, sometimes it's just enough to posit the question. I mean, if you're writing an article, then you probably would answer the question. And I think the answer is that, I mean, this is a very personal view, but I think back then we didn't really seem to care much about trust or journalistic ethics. And we kind of thought, well, if, you know, a journalist has told a few porkies, who cares? You know, we just didn't care. I think we thought the end justified the means.
Yeah.
But then we had a series of events in the last 25 years, notably, I mean, one might call it the death of trust, really. I mean, the dodgy dossier in 2003, when the Labour Party, the ruling government, were perceived to have cooked up excuses to join the American invasion of Iraq. That dealt a big blow to political trust. Then in 2008, there was the financial crisis. That dealt a big blow to financial trust, our trust in banks. Then you had MPs' expenses. That dealt a big blow to our trust in MPs. Then you had phone hacking. That dealt a big blow to our trust in journalists. So come 2020, we're suddenly thinking, you know something? We didn't care back then. We really care now because we value truth more. That's my theory. I mean, it's, you know, it's not something you want to go too heavy on in a play, because then it turns it into a kind of an edition of The Moral Maze on Radio 4. But that's my kind of pet theory as to why we cared more now. I mean, there are practical reasons, which is which are that a little bit more information came out and Diana's brother was, you know, prepared to give a bit more information. Diana was no longer around to say that she didn't really care about the dodgy documents. So it was kind of a perfect storm, and hence there was this massive media scandal in 2020 when it all broke again.
Yeah. And do you like, is this a kind of thing for you? Do you like tackling these big subjects and subjects that people have a lot of questions about? You know, I know you've done political plays before, The Last Temptation of Boris Johnson, obviously An Audience with Jimmy Savile, you know, some really big, some might say controversial subjects. Is that what you enjoy tackling?
Yeah, well, I worked in the media for 30 years doing TV and radio, so I kind of, you know, if you don't know how it works after 30 years, then you never will. And I just, you know, they say write what you know, and I know how radio and TV works and how journalism works. So, yeah, I like those. I like stories that have big characters and controversial themes and, you know, monstrous-seeming people who are quite extreme, who you can show a bit more of them, you know, fill in the gaps and fill in the dots. So, yeah, I like. And it sort of helps if you come to a story that everybody knows or thinks they know, because then people are, you know, they want to come and see it. So, you know, that is part of the story, really. So, yeah, I like those. I like controversial topics, I guess. I'm a little bit, I suppose, transgressive, and I like to stir things up. And it's more interesting to me than just doing a twee musical about. Thing, you know, Boy Meets Girl or whatever.
Yeah. And why did you decide to go down the playwriting route as opposed to writing novels, for example, about these kinds of subjects?
Because I think writing a novel is the hardest thing in the world, and I couldn't do it. And if I tried to do it, I'd be useless at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's incredible. I've found it incredibly difficult. Whereas I think if you have a history in radio and TV, you're dealing in the spoken word, so you understand the rhythms of the spoken word and the gaps, and, you know, like we're doing now. I mean, it's an interesting conversation. It's flowing. Hopefully people are enjoying it, and there is a rhythm to it. There's a question and an answer, and I found I had a facility for that I could write dialogue, and sometimes you're answering the question in a very obvious way, sometimes there's subtext and you're not really being honest, and I find that very fascinating. So I kind of understand, I think, how dialogue works. And of course, that is very naturally transferable to a play or a screenplay, but not really a novel. I mean, a novel, you're just sitting on your own, and it's terribly solitary and terribly difficult. And then at the end of it, you know, there's no one, no actors or directors or lighting or sound to make something living out of it. It's just a dead word on a dead tree, you know, and that's really not for me. And okay, it lives in the reader's mind, and that's great, but I'm not that person.
And is it difficult and kind of nerve-wracking, I guess, when you're writing not only about people, but writing words for people to say, or the actors, I mean, about people who are in recent memory, I'm sorry, even people who are still alive, you know, the likes of Boris Johnson, people who people feel like they know these people when they're coming to the theatre and seeing it. Does that add a certain amount of pressure to what you're doing?
I mean, in this play, it's narrated by Paul Burrell, her butler. You know, he was, you know, in the papers a lot when she was around and subsequently. And I tried to get in that with him and you know, I didn't get any reply. But then, bizarrely, he turned up on opening night for the play. And I thought, oh, boy, this is going to be interesting. And I was slightly worried that he'd snag it off and, you know, say this is rubbish. But actually, he was incredibly sweet about it, and he loved it, and he was very emotional afterwards, and he gave various interviews saying, this is the truth, if you want to know what really happened, watch this play, it's the truth. And he really gave it the thumbs up, and he said, that's exactly how it happened. So if I did feel any pressure, I didn't after that. I think the pressure you feel is reviews, really. I mean, critics can absolutely kill a play, or make it sing, or, you know, and obviously the audience reaction is very important as well, but there's nothing like the pressure of, you know, logging on the next morning and seeing what people have said. And you know, sometimes all is lost, sometimes the reviews are great. You know, that's extremely traumatic and nerve-wracking, and I suppose it's exciting. But yeah, that's where the real pressure comes. So there's a little bit of pressure from writing about living people. I haven't had any complaints so far, but, you know, that's not to say there won't be any in the future.
Yeah, and when you're talking about people who create so much emotion and feeling in people for very obviously different reasons, the likes of Princess Diana and Jimmy Savile, you know, people have very strong views on them, very different ones, as I said, with those two particular people. But, you know, I guess there'll always be people that are kind of almost ready to criticize, I guess, you know, oh, you can't speak about Princess Diana like that or whatever. You know, it must be nerve-wracking that opening night, I suppose, for that reason.
I didn't get too much of that. I mean, you get these not overly burdened with analytical qualities type commentators who respond to articles under the line, as they say. So when they realise you're doing a play, they make it, leave a comment underneath, like, I'll leave her a line for God's sake, let her rest in peace, and all that. And you say, well, oh, God, you know, I mean, you're saying that about Henry VIII or Queen Victoria, you know, I mean, she's a significant historical figure, and people are going to be writing plays and books about her for many, many years to come. I haven't had that at all from the audience, because obviously they want to know about her. And if someone wants to have a go at me, fine, you know, I'll happily engage them in debate if they want, but it's fairly pointless.
Yes, no, good for you. Well, it's running at the Park Theatre until the 25th of November, and the other plays that I mentioned, they were at the Park Theatre as well. You've done very well there with previous plays.
Yeah, it's a nice theatre, and they're very good to me. I mean, a couple of them have been on national tours subsequent to being on the Park Theatre, so obviously we've got hopes for this one, but you know, you've got to start somewhere, and the Park Theatre is as good a place as any. So anyone who's listening, I mean, you have listeners in England, don't you, in London?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
all
great.
Over the world. Yeah,
Park
definitely.
Park Theatre, North London, till Saturday, November 25th. Tickets quite cheap by West End standards. So it's kind of off West End, but it's a lovely theatre. So do come and see it.
Fantastic. Well, the website is parktheatre.co.uk, so people can get all the information and tickets from there. It's been lovely chatting with you, Jonathan Maitland. Thank you very much for joining us.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.